Welcome to Fabulous After 50, the podcast for women wanting to make the most of their lives. My name is Julie Kennedy, and I am your host. I am delighted to welcome today Kim Jurkovic, a certified clinical hypnotherapist who, after 25 years in corporate communications and public relations, made the pivot in order to dedicate herself to helping others live happier lives. Welcome, Kim. Can you please share a little bit about who you are, what you do, and why you do it before we move on to the fascinating topic of understanding hypnotherapy?
Absolutely. Thank you, Julie. It's so great to be here with you and to meet you virtually. I'm a certified clinical hypnotherapist. So what that means is I work with a variety of people to help them with whatever issue it is that they've come forward with. So we use hypnotherapy to get to the root cause of what's causing them their issues. We eliminate the emotions that are around that. And then we move them forward with just more empowerment and the ability to handle what life throws at them in a healthier way. Because many people learn how to cope with things in their childhood. And the problem or issue with that is that you don't have the adult mindset or wherewithal to actually cope with things that in a way that is going to serve you for your life, right? But once you learn how to cope with something as a child, you carry that with you. And then it manifests itself in many different ways as an adult. So, you know, you may just have terrible anxiety or depression or, you know, insomnia or anger or, you know, just a variety of things. And you may not even know why. I mean, you may not be able to even pinpoint it. You may just feel stuck in your life, like you're not feeling the sunshine on your face.
Yeah.
So we work together to figure out what's going on. I get to know you really well. And then I develop sessions based on what you've told me. And we work to get you back to yourself, a holistic self.
Well, I can't wait to actually get into what it is, because I think a lot of us are quite confused as to what it is. Now, I always like just setting the stage with my speakers. Mm-hmm. So, Kim, where are you based?
I'm in St. Louis, Missouri, and I do all of my hypnotherapies on Zoom.
Okay, right. And so Jurkovic is a very exotic sounding name.
Yes, it's actually Croatian.
You certainly look very far off 50. I understand you are over 50.
I am. I'm 52.
Right, well, if that's what hypnotherapy can do for you, I'm in. No, let's start at the very beginning, because I don't know, hypnotherapy, when I sort of first hear it, I think about, you know, being hypnotized and maybe being brainwashed or, you know, all those ideas about people getting into your brain and planting things that you are not aware of. First of all, you know, before we actually go into how on earth you came across this and why you decided to make the change, what is, in effect, hypnotherapy?
It's a great question. And, you know, people feel the same way as you because they've seen sort of the Hollywood version of what hypnotherapy is. It's portrayed. So hypnotherapy, the way I like to describe it in just the most basic of terms is it's a very focused and relaxed state of mind. So Julie, if you've ever driven somewhere many times and you park your car and you don't remember how you got there, or if you've had a daydream, or if you've been reading a book that you love and someone says something to you, you don't hear what they say.
Right.
So you're very relaxed, but you're also very focused. And that's really what hypnotherapy is. It's just working with the subconscious mind to focus you and to be able to get your conscious mind, if you will, out of the way.
Right.
So we can focus on getting to what's causing you pain and moving you forward, because your conscious mind is what's protecting you, but it's not always necessarily serving you.
But so is that something that one can do oneself, or does it have to be done by someone external?
You can do self-hypnosis. You can. And basically, there's actually really good sources out on YouTube, you know, that from hypnotherapists that'll put different modalities. Like if you have insomnia and you just can't sleep, mostly that's, you know, there's all kinds, but mostly it's centered around, you know, sleeping, because, you know, hypnotherapy is one of those things where you can't do it while you're driving in a car. You can't listen to it. You have to be in a safe, comfortable environment, because you are very relaxed and you're really very focused and you're not in a state of mind where you could operate machinery.
No, indeed. So I mean, obviously when you're driving a car, you need your brain to be really focused and on it and not let go. So it's basically, it's relaxing the conscious mind, which is the one rationalizing everything, talking to us all day long. And which does then, you know, by the way, I'm hearing you speak about, you know, repetitive, you know, in the same way that people often say that, you know, there's a reason why often our best ideas come when we're, say, walking or when we're gardening, because the conscious brain is then very busy doing whatever that is, which enables the
unconscious mind to sort of bubble up, right? Is that what I understand?
That's absolutely correct. Yes. And you know, the subconscious mind is really, you think of it as your guidance system. This is where all your self-belief lies. This is where all your memories are stored. So your subconscious mind is always feeding into your conscious mind. But your conscious mind is basically driving your actions, your behaviors, right. Your decision making.
And I remember a picture once. Was it 5%, 10% of whatsoever is conscious and all the rest subconscious? It's
basically all in your subconscious mind.
It's incredible.
It's amazing.
Right?
And that's why it's so effective. And with regards to your question of, as far as, you know, losing control and that kind of thing, you're always in control of hypnotherapy. That's one of the biggest misunderstandings. So if someone were to say something that would go against your moral code or whatever it may be, that would not work. I mean, that
does the word hypno come from the same thing as hypnotism, basically? Is it the same? Because I mean, for me, hypnotism is exactly that. It's basically that somebody's, you know, done something or other to you where you don't have the power. You don't actually remember afterwards what you said or what you answered. What does hypno stand for?
Think of it as a state of mind. So we all have different states of consciousness, right? So, you know, if you're sleeping, you're in a different modality of your consciousness. So it's hypno is just basically working with, get you in that relaxed, focused state of mind. So you're receptive to positive messages to make your life better.
But could it be negative messages too?
You know, I guess it could. I don't know how you would do that. I'm not saying that that's never happened. But honestly, all of my interactions, the time I've been doing this, the people that I've worked with, it's never been used to try to do something
that wouldn't serve you. Okay, so Kim, to go back one step. So you had a long career, right, in communication and PR.
Yes.
How did you yourself discover hypnotherapy?
Well, you know, a couple of ways, and hopefully I won't be too long in this, but for a long time, I just wasn't fulfilled in my career. And I was good at it. You know, I'd done very well for myself, but I wasn't fulfilled. And I was really to this point where I didn't know, I thought I'm too old to make a change. I've been doing this for 25 years. How am I ever going to completely change my life? You know, like, how do you do that? I had no idea. But that was my own fear holding me back. Right. And I felt that way for a long time.
I think a lot of the 50 plus audience will resonate with, right?
Right. Because you feel like, well, I can't change at this point in my life. I need to make money. I've got a family to, you know, care for, myself, and et cetera. So I knew the layoffs were coming to my company. And I saw the writing on the wall.
Right.
It was a big leadership cut. So I just thought to myself, and I hate to say this, but as a 52-year-old woman, I'm more and more expendable as I've moved up in the corporate world. And I just thought to myself, I'm not expendable. I have a lot of value.
Yes.
So what I ended up doing was started with a career coach, and we did a really big deep dive into my life and my fears and what fills me up and motivates me and what I won't tolerate and all those things. And then you kind of brainstorm what, based on everything you're seeing in front of you, the blueprint of your professional and personal life, what do you think you could do with that? And so hypnotherapy was one of the areas I landed on. So I started to do informational interviews, if you will. And I also started seeing a hypnotherapist. And that experience is really what changed my life because, you know, I had these limiting beliefs about myself that I carried forever. But I didn't know where they came from, but I knew how they manifested, which was basically, you know, kind of being stuck and fearful and not knowing how to move forward. And so through the hypnotherapy sessions that I in turn had, I was able to, you know, eliminate those limiting beliefs. And now I don't have that. I have self-belief that I've never had before in my life. I wish I would have done this forever ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, so that was really the transition. And also, you know, I had major life events happen. Like both of my parents passed away within a year of each other. And when something like that happens, you know, it just makes you stop and think.
Yeah.
Like
you question everything,
I've got to live.
Right? Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Absolutely. So I think it was sort of all of those things coming together that made me want to do this just to see how powerful it was, how fast it was, how much good I could do for other people in the world, which is really where my passion lies. So it kind of opened all those doors that I was looking for.
Yeah. And I mean, when you think about it, I mean, of course, you know, with the advent of coaching since the 80s, et cetera, we do talk more and more about the conscious mind and unconscious mind, et cetera. But still we live in a society where it's all about doing, right? It's all about doing this, doing that. And it's about mind over matter. And it's about positive thinking and, you know, just get over yourself and move on, et cetera. Whereas I really have the feeling, talking to people like you, that, you know, the first step really is to sort of befriend, or at least, you know, understand where all of these automatic responses are coming from. Yes, we do know they come from our childhood. I mean, most of us know at this age that basically we filter everything that goes on around us, and that's based on sense that we've made of the world, mostly from our young age. So something happens, this was the strategy we put in place to cope, but we don't revisit it. What worked when you were six is very likely not going to have the same effect when you're 56. But very few people actually stop and look. Maybe we're scared of what we'll find, or maybe we don't know how we will cope with it. So to take a little bit of the negative stigma off hypnotherapy, how does it work? I mean, what does a hypnotherapist do?
That's a great question. And you know, I want to clarify, people think it has to be trauma. It doesn't have to be a traumatic event that you went through as a child. You could be thinking in your mind right now as you listen to this, I had a wonderful childhood. There is nothing that would have affected me. But however, what you said was so apt, because, you know, the way we filter as children can be completely different with regards to what the intent was. So for example, yeah. I had a client, her baby sister was born, and, you know, her mother was in the room, her bedroom, with her baby sister, and the little girl wanted to go see her mom. Mm-hmm. Her dad stopped her and said, you can't go see her. You need to leave her alone. She's with the baby. They need time, blah, blah, blah. And she carried a horrible resentment towards her father for so long, because she thought he was preventing her from being with her mom. Yeah. And so, you know, I know it sounds like, well, that's just doesn't really sound like anything.
No, I totally agree with you. It is, because then we use it in different circumstances as well. And since we don't revisit it, we can't see it with the knowledge and the awareness that we have now. We stay stuck with what we thought was back then, which of course then did feel like that. She must have felt extremely betrayed by her father and betrayed by her mother, who wasn't there for her. Suddenly her entire world must have collapsed. So I agree with you. We're not talking about only pure trauma, or the sort of trauma that could be something really big, but these are all traumas, because they are affecting us. They're affecting how we feel about ourselves, how we interact with other people, what we give, what we don't give. I mean, it's incredible. We don't need to fix everything. But I mean, the things which we realize, and especially at the beautiful age of after 50, is we tend to have already come to a bit more peace with ourselves, of understanding, okay, what's working, what's not working, you know, which are the things that I just need to embrace, and which are the things which are holding me back from truly being me. And that's what you're saying, right?
It is what I'm saying. And you know, it's funny, because people always think they know what it is. Sometimes they do, you know, but a lot of times the memory, what I do in hypnotherapy, not all hypnotherapists do this, but what I do is I take you back to whatever the memory is that started you on this path of feeling like you're not enough or not lovable, or that good things aren't available to you, that you're different, or whatever it may be that's manifested. Like, for example, the woman I just spoke of, she spent her entire life thinking she wasn't lovable because of that interaction she had with her dad, you know, so all of her behavioral patterns were like putting the pieces of the puzzle together once we got her back to that memory. And it's really, honestly, it's less about the memory and more about the emotion. Because it's emotion that's our guidance system. So it's eliminating the negative emotions and behavioral patterns as a result of what happened versus having that memory, so to speak. So for some, I hope that makes it a little less scary, if you will, because people hold on to they don't want to feel their
feelings. This is a part of who you are, right?
Yes. They may be holding on to, people don't want to feel the feelings. They want to hold on to their pain, even though they don't realize they are. Because, you know, change can be scary. But it's, you know, it's one of those things where the memory itself and taking someone back to that memory, it may bring up emotions, but the pain doesn't last because we eliminate it.
It's still there, but you don't attach something.
That's exactly right. So that allows you to kind of become the detective of your life, because you're able to all of a sudden put pieces together of your entire life, the decisions you've made, the behaviors you've demonstrated and gone with. But you don't have the emotions behind it. You just say to yourself, oh my goodness, this is why I did this, or this is why I procrastinate, or this is why I panicked attacks, or whatever.
And then you can change it. If you know what it is, then you can do something about it. So what exactly do you do? I mean, do I imagine somebody lying on a couch and you're holding a pendulum above their head, or?
You're so funny. No. Really, hypnotherapy, all you have to do in hypnotherapy is listen to my voice. So what we would do is, like I said, you and I would have what I call a discovery call. and we get really get to know each other. We talk about what you're experiencing, what your goals are with hypnotherapy, and then determine if hypnotherapy is the right modality for you moving forward. Right. And then from there, I give you a sort of an in-depth questionnaire. And based on those two things, I develop the first session that we have. And so what that session would look like is we would go through that questionnaire together, and then we would do a hypnotherapy session and over Zoom. And I know that sounds to for some, they're like, how is that possible? But it's actually very possible and works very well. So I ask the person just be in a comfortable position. Now they can be in a chair, they can be on a couch, they can be, you know, on a bed, whatever it may be. Basically are reclined back and they listen to what I'm telling them. So I get them into a very relaxed state of mind. And then we go into whatever it is, whatever the goals are that we've set for that person, then that's what's going to guide the hypnotherapy session. But generally it always starts with figuring out where it all began. I always start with taking someone back to that memory.
But so you're asking questions and the person is then answering or just listening the whole time?
Depends. They can answer questions. They can nod their head.
But do they remember afterwards they said or?
Not always. So it really, depends on what the subconscious mind is taking it all in. So your subconscious mind remembers everything, but what your subconsciousness remembers can be very scattered, you know, like you don't remember exactly, but that's okay because the good work has already been put in place.
Right.
So it's going to take effect.
It's fascinating. So then you replay to them what the conversation was or ask them further about something that they answered.
I do. Like if I take them back and to something in particular, I may ask, or if I take them through some sort of imagery, I may ask them what they saw or what their memory was, if we're not talking about it within the session itself, and how really just how they're feeling. You know, that it's really more about the feeling and how they're feeling after, which is usually very relaxed because they say, I think 15 minutes of hypnotherapy is like 4 hours of sleep.
Oh, really?
So you're very refreshed and relaxed and feel good. And those good feelings stay with you.
It's really important when you think of it, because I mean, if you leave them in that bad place, you know, it could do a lot more damage than anything else, right? You know, you've got to trust that somebody's going to bring you back.
For sure. For sure. And you know, you could bring yourself back. Honestly, you wouldn't be in a hypnotic state forever or anything like that. But, you know, generally the sessions last, you know, the first session's always the longest because you're going through the questionnaire, you're talking more. They're about an hour and a half, but then the sessions after that are anywhere from 45 minutes to an hour. And people, I ask for a commitment of 3 sessions because you can't, you know, it's not a miracle. You have to, you know, work together to get them from point A to point B to point C. I mean, then if we need to go from there, if you're unpacking a lot, then we'll have more sessions after that. But it really just depends on the progress and how people are feeling. And it's extraordinarily fast and transformational.
But so if we take the question, you know, you were talking before about insomnia or anxiety. Mm-hmm. So say through the questionnaire and your discovery call, you manage to more or less situate where this is all coming from. Mm-hmm. And then in the session, you take them there to get more details about what did they connect, etc. And then what do you replace that? Or is it just the awareness of knowing where that behavior or reasoning is coming from?
What we do is we eliminate the emotions around it. So they're there and they have it, then we get rid of the pain points and the emotions. So it
doesn't affect them in the same way. And we do that through talking. We do that through associating different words with the imagery.
Basically, it's really acknowledging the memory and transitioning them to the point where they won't have those emotions anymore, where they're not feeling the pain around whatever it was they're remembering.
That's incredible.
And then we move forward with positive suggestions. If it is anxiety, for instance, I would take them through the session we carried on with regards to releasing that anxiety and giving them more coping mechanisms. So when life throws things at them, they're not having that anxious, you know, response. Instead, they're able to deal with it in a way that isn't so heavy and you know, it doesn't take them down and shut them down.
That's an absolutely fascinating world when you think of it. I always found fascinating. I mean, lots of my audience know me more from the editing and translating side of my business or the coaching, but I have an accreditation in coaching, etc. So I mean, the brain has always been something which has really fascinated me, and just the whole concept that we we remember, I mean, our subconscious mind knows everything. I mean, everything. Yeah. It knows our birth. Mm-hmm. It knows absolutely everything. And it's just, mm-hmm. as you say, getting into that state where we can tap into that and tap into that wisdom as well that we have. You know, we always think we don't know because our you know, conscious brain is frightened and stressed and wants to find a solution. And the more stressed we are, the less chances we are of having it. And then when you really relax into your you know, your deeper self, and that we have this capacity to heal, you know, mm-hmm. ourselves and to pull on our own resources, but we do need the help. That, you know, we can't, you need somebody, I think, from the outside, from that point of view, a coach, and in this case a hypnotherapist, in order to ask the right questions and to also maybe hold your hand, because mm-hmm. you don't know what you're going to discover, and you do want to make sure that you end up, you know, in a better place with the right mechanisms for. So, I mean, for example, if we talk about the audience of 50 plus, do you have many clients come to you in this age?
I do. I have a lot of clients actually who are 50 plus and 40 plus, you know, so, mm-hmm. you know, an older demographic, and they're struggling with a variety of issues. Sometimes they're going through divorce.
Yes.
Sometimes they're just stuck. They don't know what to do. They want to move forward in their lives. They've lost their happiness and they don't know why, you know, or a lot of them, you know, they've held on. They've had this, whatever it is, they've had this anxiety or the way they've dealt with their emotions for so long that it's manifested in, you know, eating in the middle of the night, or panic attacks, or just waking up with your heart, chest pounding, or, you know what I mean? It just manifests in a variety of ways, and they don't know what to do or how to help themselves. They need the help. And so, yeah. And I also work with women who just want to make a huge pivot like I did, but they don't know how, you know, they're like, I need, you know, cause fear is holding them back, you know, fear of failure. It's mostly fear of failure, but something's, there are barriers that we set up for ourselves that we need to push beyond. So it's a variety, but I do work with quite a few women who just want to feel the sunshine on their face again.
And also because maybe for the women among us who have maybe had children, etc., there's a certain period of your life, let's say, where you've been mm-hmm. super busy looking after other people, you know, maybe balancing your career and your home mm-hmm. and maybe your partner in there as well. And you don't really have that much time for introspection. You know, you're lucky if you manage to paint your nails or, you know, go to the gym, but to actually sit around thinking about what's holding me back in life is a bit, you know, off the program at that time. So usually by 50 plus, the children are a little bigger, or maybe they've left home, or they're studying or something like that. So we can suddenly also, I mean, I suppose that's the definition of a midlife crisis, as in you stop and you ask yourself the question, am I where I wanted to be? Am I, you know, am I really, really living what I thought I was going to be? You know, what do I want to leave behind? You know, mm-hmm. am I living my true life, or is there a lot more to me? And I'm frustrated because I've just spent, you know, 25 years making somebody else a lot of money doing something which I didn't really enjoy. And now I want to do something else. And I can imagine, yes, there are a lot of limiting beliefs. I mean, about age, about what we mm-hmm. can do at this point of our lives, you know, about how capable we are to actually function in the world out there when everybody else is, you know, we've got newer degrees and are savvier usually digitally, etc. So I can imagine this being very good. Now, for the audience today, you know, I always ask for three concrete tips. I mean, I do hope and I imagine that people who will be interested to this episode will have things which are holding them back and wish to work on them. And I think that's our message today, as well as both 50 pluses, everything is possible if you give yourself the right tools and the right mindset. So, but for those who want to have an immediate change right now, are there three tips that you could suggest, I mean, about things that they could put into place themselves immediately?
Absolutely. And before I go into the tips, I did want to say what you said, something so interesting. So many of the women that I work with think that if they put themselves first, someone has to lose. Yeah. Someone else has to lose. Yes. So that is just such an interesting mindset that women have. But, you know, and not to stereotype, but a lot of women I work with feel that way. So we're working. Yeah. We're working on getting them to put themselves first as a priority.
Yeah. And there is enough. It's not a shortage. So thanks for that, Kim. Yeah.
Exactly. Sure. So, you know, my first tip would be listen to what your mind, body, and soul are telling you, and your spirit. If you don't listen, if you just push it all down, whatever it is, it's going to come back and be 10 times worse.
Yeah.
You know, so you must listen. If you need to rest. If you need something that's going to fill you up, find something that fills you up. If you need help, get help. Because no, I don't think anyone is born with the tools to know how to deal with everything that life throws at you.
No.
There are a lot of ways that you can seek help, you know, out there. There therapists are wonderful, coaches like you are wonderful, you know, hypnotherapy, there's Reiki, there's so much opportunity
for
now in mental health
as well. Right?
Absolutely. So don't be scared to put yourself out there. My second tip would be, you know, as I was saying, if you put yourself last, that's where you're going to stay. You know, think about that. Yes. Because if you love yourself and prioritize yourself, then you're better able to have much more healthy relationship, not only with yourself, but with everyone else that's in your life. Yep. That's how that will manifest.
And I think that's one typical to women as well, right?
Yes.
You know, it's basically the idea that everybody else goes first, but then, you know, then you have a burnout or something and you're no use to anybody. I mean, it's a bit, you know, the cliche of the airline, put your oxygen mask on first if you want to help others. And it's happy people who help others. It's not miserable, burnt out, drained to the ground people who can be there for others.
That's absolutely true. Absolutely true. And then I guess my third tip would be life unfolds one moment at a time. Okay. So if you think about that, the life that you and I are having right now, this is our moment. We're talking to each other, you know, dwelling on the past or worrying about how you're going to control the future. That just doesn't serve you. Yeah. It doesn't serve you. It's just going to make you so stressed that you can't cope.
Yeah.
So just, you know, let your moments unfold as you will. Life can be much better that way if you enjoy the moments as they come versus worrying about what is coming.
That is a wonderful message. And I know I was one of those people who wanted to do so much in life. I was running everything like a military operation, my family, my husband, my business, my everything. And then I read about all of these things that we do, etc. The only place you can find happiness is now.
Yeah.
You can remember it. You can remember being happy. You can plan to be happy in the future. But the only place you can feel happiness is in the now. And it's often the now, you know, if we tie it back in with the subconscious, that's when we make the space in order to let this wise part of us actually have its say, thanks to people like you who have the tools to help us, you know, bring it out. Kim, thank you very, very much for joining us today. I think you had a wonderfully, you know, open and clear way of explaining what hypnotherapy is. I have totally come back from my idea of all these sort of wicked people trying to plant things in our brain. So thank you very, very much for that. So I'm delighted to hear that you do the majority of this online. So for those who are, for example, in the train or whatsoever and don't have the show notes in front of them, how can people get a hold of you?
Sure. My website is www.denovohypnotherapy.com.
Denovo, D-E-N-O-V-O.
Yes, de novo hypnotherapy. And it means anew. So de novo is Latin for anew.
Exactly. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you so much.
And the rest of you out there, I hope this triggered thoughts in your brain as well, because I mean, I think it is time for us to dare go there and really go to the root instead of doing and fixing and patching, because we somehow seem to turn in circles and then keep coming back to the same thing. How many wonderful affirmations we ram down our own throats every morning. So maybe hypnotherapy is something for you where you would, in a gentle way, can go back and really find the root of it, remove the negative baggage associated with it. I will very rapidly repeat Kim's tips. Listen to your mind, body, and soul, not to the little natter. Listen to the deep message which is coming up. If you put yourself last, that is where you will stay, which is so true. And focus on the now, as it's the only place that happiness can be found. Wonderful. Looking forward to speaking to you again next week.
Thank you for listening. Now it is up to you to make it happen. Join me next week for another dose of empowering vitamins as we navigate the marvelous roller coaster we call life. Subscribe and let me know what you think we should be talking about. Take care out there.